It's the John and Ken Show. John Cobell and Ken Champeau, KFI AM 640.
Hey, I'm glad you knew that.
I know that. Oh, next hour, I'm looking forward to the dumpster next hour.
There will be some dumpster dumping. But speaking of dumping, we got dumping topics coming up. Yes, we put a hack in a dumpster. I just saw Svetlana. The Ukrainian mob is here. We're still waiting on the Turkish bodyguards and the Serbs who love Trump and those illegal aliens from Poland that helped build Trump Tower. They're all... Yeah, now you see, John, Poland won't accept any immigrants, and yet they're coming here. Get out of here. Poland wants no part of the
Middle Eastern migrants, the Syrian migrants.
Yeah, you'd be able to immigrate to Poland, I guess, because your parents were, if you wanted to actually move there and live there and become
I don't know. It's really pleasant there. I think I'd be pretty happy in Poland.
A little chilly, though, isn't it, during the winters?
I grew up in New Jersey.
That's why the Polish people went Michigan. And
I'm not interested in not
Buffalo. There are a lot of Polish people in Buffalo.
All I want is people who don't annoy me. That's all I want out of my life. I don't care where I am, how much money I have, what the house looks like. I just want to I don't want to be around people.
No, you and me both. In 1 hour, her name is Joanne Rallo. She's the founder of a Facebook page called Saving San Pedro. Yesterday, we talked to Councilman Joe Buscaino. He represents that part of L.A. Some people forget that San Pedro is part of L.A. It is part of the city of Los Angeles.
Which is frustrates.
It's kind of an outpost.
Which, based on the emails we got, frustrates them.
Yeah, I think you're right.
They get no attention from LAPD when they have problems.
So did L.A. County Sheriff's deputies dump a homeless man? You see, dumpster? From the guy they picked up in Rancho Palos Verdes, and did they just dump him in San Pedro? Because San Pedro right now, and that's why this Facebook page started, has got an ever-growing homeless problem.
San Pedro is almost physically separated from the rest of the city.
No, it is. It's way down there because the harbor, and it's just this little...
Well,
if you look at the map, it is bizarre.
Well, it's if you look at the borders of the city of Los Angeles in the south, you know, you have the bulk of the city, right? And then there's two lines that go around... the freeway, I guess the 710, and those are the borders.
No, I think it's the 110.
The 110,
maybe.
So it's this very narrow strip of land that goes along the freeway until you get to San Pedro, and then the borders widen out. So that area of Los Angeles that connects San Pedro to the main city. Is as wide as, you know, 8 freeway lanes.
Yeah, it's the 110.
It's 110.
710 goes to Long Beach.
Right. So, which is bizarre. So they don't have a physical connection. So I guess, I don't know, LAPD doesn't make it that far.
Yeah, I mean,
because these emails said they're calling the police all the time about all the vagrants that are being dropped off by other cities, not just Palos Verdes, but other cities are bringing the vagrants to San Pedro. Because they're the southernmost... point where you could dump them in L.A. and L.A.'s crazy.
We'll hear all about it from Joanne. They're not happy with Joe Buscaino, and the congresswoman at the time was Janice Hahn. I guess she's now the supervisor,
oh my
right?
God. Well, stop electing Janice Hahn. I mean, I can't believe she breathes on her own. She's got the tiniest brain I've ever seen in any politician, and they keep electing her. And then they wonder why the place has gone to hell. Why do you think the place has gone to hell? Look who you elect to represent you. Chan is hot.
All right, the breaking news last night is that ICE finally went into action in Northern California. Agents raided 77 businesses. The news came out last night, but it's been going on all week. And basically what they're doing at these businesses, they're demanding proof that the employees are legally allowed to work in the United States. This is called an I-9 audit. And basically, that's the form. You have to have it on hand if you're an employer, an I-9, where the person, who the employee, discusses or rather indicates whether they are a citizen or non-citizen, verifies their identity and authorization to work. These employees are supposed to produce valid ID, such as a Social Security card, to prove they're in the U.S. legally. And in the audits, federal agents can ask to examine the employee's proof of identity and work authorization. This could lead to criminal charges or fines, if businesses cannot produce valid I-9 forms for every employee. Now, this isn't the first time they do these audits. They do these kinds of raids, as they're calling them. It happened under Obama and Bush and everybody. In fact, in the 2017, they conducted 1,360 I-9 audits and made 139 criminal arrests and 172 administrative arrests. And businesses were ordered to pay up almost $98 million in what they call forfeiture fines and restitution. There were also civil fines.
Okay, so when Obama's administration did it, they did it over 1,300 times, and that was okay? Because there's quotes in here. People are, you know, all these progressives.
Yeah, the fiscal year would be half Obama and half Trump. I think it runs from June to July.
Well, I bet you the 2016 year is similar. Because you have a whole department to do this sort of work. So every year, this is what they do. This is what they're paid for. So they go out and they do these I-9 inspections. And every employee, any job you've ever had, if it's a legitimate job with a payroll, you've had to fill out an I-9. It's mandatory.
I will never forget 1988, when I believe was the first year of the John and Ken show. And this was, only a year or two after they passed the big amnesty bill?
Mm-hmm.
And this was one of the things they started requiring. And I remember the secretary at the radio station demanded, John, you bring in some proof like your Social Security card or birth certificate. And you were like, wee, 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 wee. And this went on for months. She kept haranguing you to bring in your legal documents.
I resented having to prove that I was a legal citizen.
Well, we don't know you. You dress like you're a homeless guy off the bus.
I found it unnecessary intrusiveness, idiotic bureaucratic paperwork, and plus I liked pissing her off.
Yeah, you did. I think I came up with my birth certificate. My father had sent it to me some years before that, and I was just hanging on to it.
I have to prove an American citizen. What do you think I am? Get out of here. These people have to prove they're citizens.
Well, predictably, the immigrant activists just believed this was just mean-spirited and hard-hearted for Immigration and Customs Enforcement to do this. It apparently has put a lot of people in panic, said one charity spokesperson. We have people who are quitting jobs. Now, James Schwab is the ICE spokesman on the job. They would not name the businesses. They were in San Francisco, San Jose, and Sacramento. And he said a notice of inspection alerts a business owner that Homeland Security Investigations, a division of ICE, is going to audit their hiring records to determine if they're in compliance with the law. And further, he said, the actions taken this week reflect our effort to enforce the laws that prohibit businesses from hiring illegal workers. It's focused on protecting jobs for U.S. citizens and others who are lawfully employed. It eliminates unfair competitive advantages for companies that hire an illegal workforce. And it strengthens public safety and national security.
Which is...
In other words, this is all above board and you're allowed to do it. Once again, immigration enforcement is up to the federal government.
And
Trump's Immigration Customs Enforcement wants to do this. They're allowed to do this no matter what the activists say.
And it's for the benefit of American workers. I remember years ago when illegal immigrants became prevalent in the construction industry, taking calls from so many construction companies who were put out of business because they wanted to follow the law, not hire illegal immigrants, but other companies would and pay them very little money, and so their bids for projects were much lower. So the legal companies are going, we can't compete. We're constantly getting undercut because we pay our American citizens a legal wage, and these other companies are paying illegal immigrants a very low wage. And we go, and the good guys went out of business. The companies obeying the law went out of business. I don't want to hear from anybody who wants companies that follow the law to go out of business. I don't want to hear from you. You have no standing. You don't get to argue. I don't want to hear all your emotional pleadings. You're wrong.
Maria Marroquin, executive director of something called the Day Worker Center in Mountain View, said taking away these people's humanity is a commonly used tactic by ICE, and unfortunately it's very effective. People experience this great fear and live with stress and unhappiness.
There you go. All emotion. Look at the words she used. Taking away humanity, experiencing great fear, stress, and unhappiness. She went on, it's a strategy to manipulate people and their emotions. It's embarrassing to be living in these times. See, nothing but emotion-based argument. Nothing about how much the wages are depressed.
Yeah, there's no judge that's going to stop this from happening because, again, it's happened under all administrations.
You know, and you know what I wish.
But now they're arguing now, John. But they're targeting California unfairly because of our sanctuary policies.
We have the most illegal aliens of any state.
Yeah, and we passed all those sanctuary policies.
Yeah,
there's other places that have them, but California went full bore with the sanctuary state.
You created a sanctuary policy that violates federal law, so of course they're going to come here the most. Of course they are, because the other states did not declare sanctuaries. They're cooperating with the government. So, yes, you're going to get an enormous amount of attention. You asked for it.
All right. When we come back, there's another development on the illegal immigration, and customs enforcement front. And that's a policy that's specifically been laid out about picking up the illegal aliens at the courthouses. We'll talk about it.
John and Ken Show, KFI, Deborah Marquez News. Your chance to win $1,000 coming up. John and Ken Show, John Cobell and Ken Champeau, KFI AM 640.
All right, here we go. A chance for you to win some money. Listen to this.
Your shot at $1,000 now. Text the keyword WIN to 200-200. You'll get a text confirming entry plus iHeartRadio info. Standard data and messaging rates apply. That's WIN to 200-200.
Answer the phone. There'll be another shot at $1,000 in about an hour. You have this chance Monday through Friday here on KFI to win $1,000 once an hour between 5 a.m. and 7 p.m. I know why Thomas Holman, who was our guest recently, did this. Thomas Holman, of course, is still the acting director of Immigration and Customs Enforcement. We had a nice long interview with him that aired last week. He put out a memo about what to do as far as Immigration and Customs Enforcement inside courthouses. But you know what also came out of this? Because this is the nonsense that's in the community and sometimes reported by the media. This belief that ICE agents are going to go to schools, hospitals, daycares, churches, funerals, weddings.
It's never happened. It's lies. But, I mean, it's intentional because they know the idiots in the media print those fears. Here are some of the fears that the immigrant community has. These people say it. Usually it's activists or politicians because they know that'll be the headline. See, everybody is a willing accomplice in spreading the propaganda. Hey, I need quotes. What are your quotes?
I think even, was it Kevin DeLeon was passing around that BS?
Yeah.
They're outside schools picking up people.
Because that's his business. His business is to lie, knowing that the media coverage will reflect his lie and not the truth. And wouldn't that be great if you could constantly push your agenda in life, knowing you'd have every media outlet report exactly what you say and not contradict it with the facts? So, of course he does that.
So this memo that came out deals with the one place where they want to make it very clear. They can go after people that they have a record of that need to be deported, either because of a criminal record or because there's already an order of deportation. And because we're a sanctuary state and there's so many sanctuary cities in California, this is one of the only means they have to find the people they're looking for, because if they have a court date, well, there you go. They'll probably show up, and so will we. Well, so this policy wanted to make it clear that they will go to federal, state, and local courthouses to make arrests, but they will not inflict any collateral damage.
So they
John
won't
knows what that means.
They won't arrest the family members who will be standing next to them.
Families, friends, and witnesses
That's
won't
right.
be picked up for
yeah.
deportation. Although it says here, ICE does leave a caveat for special circumstances, but I don't have all the information on that.
Well, it's whatever they decide in the moment.
But, you know, Holman said it best. He said, we're going to do it in the courthouses because it's safer. It makes sense to arrest a criminal in a criminal courthouse.
If they cared, if the Democrats cared, when they had that two-year run controlling the presidency, the Senate, and the House, when they had a filibuster-proof majority in the Senate.
Oh, Obama's first couple of years?
That's right. They could have legalized everyone. They could have given an amnesty to 11 million. They could forget
they
just
were
the
too
dreamers.
Focused on Obamacare.
It's because they don't want to fix it.
Oh.
Because they want the
issue.
Because then they get to call Republican candidates phobes and ists.
Well, then you're right, because that's what Trump is saying about the Dreamers. They're not interested in a deal there either.
The Dreamer issue is a subset of the immigration issue, you know, for at least 10 years now. Because 10 years ago, almost, they could have legalized everybody. Right. And they could have jacked up immigration rates. They could have loosened up the ability for people to immigrate here. They didn't, because they don't care that much. They want the issue. Your chance to call your political opponent a racist, a bigot,
a xenophobe,
all the phobes and ists. You know, the way to shut these people up, but of course nobody in the media does it. It's like, hey, you guys were in power about 8-9 years ago. You had control of everything, so why didn't you give everybody amnesty?
Yeah, then they wouldn't be illegal aliens that we'll talk about.
There wouldn't be. The illegal aliens would not exist. And then you could say, you know what? We are going to open up the legal immigration spigot. Hey, we'll let in 1 million people from Central America every year legally. All you have to do is show up. We'll give you a citizenship right at the door. They could have done that. They didn't. Because they don't really care about these people. But the issue they thought was a winner.
Yeah. We'll see.
And right, you'll see. They are never, ever going to come to a deal with Trump. Matt Drudge is president. I fell on my head. John and Ken Show, KFI, Deborah Marquez News. John and Ken Show, John Cobalt and Ken Champeau, KFI AM 640.
All right, at 5:05, when we go commercial free, John, we talked to the founder of Saving San Pedro. That's a Facebook page dedicated to saving San Pedro. As you know, San Pedro at the harbor there is a part of the city of L.A., and they have a homeless problem.
It looks like, and this is what I've been saying, you can't go up 75% in 6 years, homeless people in L.A. County, unless they're coming in from elsewhere. And same thing for your local neighborhood or town. If there's a huge increase, it means somebody's bussing these people in. And it looks like San Pedro is getting homeless that are dumped in by other towns. Their police are picking up the vagrants, dumping them in San Pedro because L.A. doesn't care. And San Pedro is kind of disconnected from main L.A. geographically. So they don't get the police. They don't get anything. It's pretty terrible. But I'm telling you, there's an importation process going on.
An importation.
Yeah, the math just doesn't work. The increase is too huge. I don't believe that all these people all had jobs, you know, just a year or two ago, or they all had apartments they were living in a year or two ago. Because you look at them, they don't look employable, and it doesn't look like they've had shelter in a while.
We'll be talking to Joanne after the news at 5 o'clock, and then we'll be followed immediately by the Moistline people. And in 1 hour, there is a hack going in the dumpster. We're back with Svetlana and the Ukrainian mob and the other mob members to throw a hack in a dumpster who's really been in the news the past couple of days. It's not a politician. All right, so that's coming up on the John and Ken Show. Today I actually was driving along listening to CNN and Fox News and the satellite radio with their live breaking coverage of what is the big inside baseball political story that is captivating, where else? Washington, D.C. And that was the release of a memo. I'm like, a memo? Just the fact it's a memo.
It was
on FBI surveillance.
Four-page memo.
It was a four-page memo.
Short four-page.
This is the Devin Nunes memo. Yes, he's the House Intelligence Committee chair, the Republican congressman from California, Devin Nunes, who, by the way, in a coincidental to a kind of a crossover, he's given money to repeal the gas in the car tax.
Is that right?
Yes.
Oh, he must be running for something else then.
He used some campaign money to switch it over to that effort.
You know what? This isn't that complicated.
Well, he's probably running for re-election. He has to.
If you remember that stupid fake Russian dossier.
The Russian prostitutes.
That was released shortly after Trump won. This was an attempt by people within the FBI to cut Trump's legs out from under him. Because they couldn't.
And that was late in the campaign, wasn't it?
That was right after it became publicized after he got elected.
That's right.
And that was the Russian prostitute, two of them standing on his bed and peeing all over his bed. Now, as soon as I heard that,
there's also a lot in there about business dealings.
Yeah,
that didn't get the headline.
I flat out, moment one, didn't believe it. It was just a really gross, over-the-top, sloppy hit job.
And the guy that put it together was Christopher Steele, a British spy who compiled the dossier.
What you have to do is, the old cliche, you follow the money. The Hillary Clinton campaign paid for it through a law firm called Perkins Coie. Perkins Coie then passed the money to a research firm called Fusion GPS. Fusion GPS hired Christopher Steele, a British spy, who had Russian friends give him all this information. So notice how the Clinton people tried to cover up their tracks financially by running it through a law firm, running it through a research firm who hires a foreign spy who's got alleged Russian spies feeding him what? A whole lot of garbage.
Now we take it further, and it's claiming that the former FBI Deputy Director Andrew McCabe, that's the guy that just retired recently, that the surveillance warrant that was issued, what they call FISA, Foreign Intelligence Surveillance.
Yeah, it's a secret court you have to go to for the government to wiretap somebody, an American citizen.
He said that the warrant for surveillance would not have been obtained without the dossier. The dossier that has been largely discredited. And I guess what the Republicans are trying to say, this shows a bias.
Well, they never told
the FBI against Trump.
They never told the judge where the dossier came from.
Though
they knew. So they knew it had a disreputable source, but they took it in anyway to the judge.
And what's this about Yahoo News? That they got dragged into this?
Well, a reporter for Yahoo News, Michael Isikoff. Who incidentally was the reporter who was sitting on the Monica Lewinsky story.
Yes, you're right. I knew that name.
20 years ago, yeah.
He used to be with Newsweek, wasn't he? Many years ago?
Yes. He's worked at a number of places, and now he's working with Yahoo News.
Oh, I see. Apparently it says here, the Steele dossier was derived from information leaked by Steele himself to Yahoo News. So basically the memo says that they were relying on information that came from the original dubious source. In other words, it's like, well, the British spy Christopher Steele compiled the dossier and then tried to sell it as legitimate, and then, you know, eventually it makes its way to the FBI for a surveillance warrant.
Right.
See?
Well, they wanted to leak it to friendly people in the news media, and I guess they considered Isikoff friendly.
Oh.
See, many of the leaks...
And Steele said he met with Yahoo News at the direction of Fusion GPS.
Right.
Back to those people.
That's what they do. What they do is to give it credibility, they leak it to a journalist that they know will print the news uncritically. They knew that Isikoff would publish this. Once it's published, then it's picked up by everybody else in the world, and it becomes real, even though it's not real. And this is what these companies do. Fusion GPS isn't the only company. There's many of these companies. And that's why many of these news leaks and bombshell exclusives are orchestrated by public relation or crisis management companies who've done some dirty work and are trying to manipulate public perception about one issue or another.
So, again, like everything else, since Trump ran for president and became president, it really depends on your perspective how big a story this is. Some of the Democrats and even like the former FBI director, James Comey, are going, that's it? That's the big memo? And others are saying, this is the proof of an anti-Trump slant within the FBI.
I mean, clearly.
Relying on this dossier.
If you're using this bogus piece of excrement, yeah, you were trying to destroy his presidency. Russian prostitutes peeing all over the bed. They were trying to drive him out before he even was sworn in. They were they were beside themselves. So it was
about Carter Page that they wanted to surveil. That's kind of where this went. It wasn't Trump himself.
Yeah, he was a volunteer Trump.
Yeah, I remember that
campaign. He was not even an employee, just an advisor, a hanger-on. But he's had a lot of dealings with Russia that they were suspicious of.
I see.
And so but to get an American citizen surveilled, you have to, you know, produce a lot of solid evidence. And the evidence came out of this fake dossier.
All right, when we come back, NBC Nightly News is airing an interview tonight with the employee who sent out the false missile alert in Hawaii. He says he's getting death threats. He decided to sit down to tell his side of the story.
Everybody gets death threats.
Described as the Hawaii button pusher. We'll like talk about it.
Every other story now is like, this person is getting death threats. Yeah. Get off social media. John and Ken Show, KFI, Deborah Marquez News. For the John and Ken Show, John Cobell, Ken Champeau, KFI, AM 640.
We're talking about the homeless in San Pedro coming up after the news at 5 o'clock. We've got the Moistline people waiting, too. And hacking a dumpster next hour. If you want to see a pretty wild video, go to our website, KFIAM640.com, with the keyword John and Ken. It's two women fighting off a man who turned out to be a carjacker. He walked into a nail salon in Sherman Oaks and just began attacking the women in there. There were actually three. One ran off to get help. The two that fought this guy were sisters. It is 1 minute of pretty wild stuff because eventually they're taking furniture and chairs and hitting him with it. They were successful. They were able to fight him off until help came, and he was detained by the police. They can't figure out why. He walks in behind these women into the nail salon and he just begins attacking them. Nobody knows why. He's been identified.
Well, there isn't a why.
Gustavo Aranda. Well, you'd think it'd be a robbery or because he's a carjacker, but why he picked them?
Because he's violent. He had an impulse.
So he's swinging chairs. They're swinging chairs. It's pretty wild. It almost looks like cartoon chairs that break easily.
Yeah. There are nastier drugs than that's out there. There's got to be.
It kind of looks like that.
Because there seems to be more bizarre incidents, just inexplicable craziness and violence.
Flacca. I haven't heard about Flacca in a while. Remember Flacca?
It's still out there.
All right. A man that is the center of a story out of Hawaii has decided to do some interviews. And this is the guy who on January 13th sent Hawaiians a message that there was an incoming missile and they needed to take cover. He works for, or did work for, the Hawaii Emergency Management Agency, although he has lost his job since then. They conducted an investigation, and it said the recorded message began and ended with the phrase, exercise, exercise, exercise. It included language scripted for use during an actual missile alert, which did say this is not a drill.
And he didn't hear the first three words, exercise, exercise, exercise. In that context, it means this is a practice run.
Yes.
This is an exercise.
He is claiming he did not hear exercise at all in the transmission, and he believed there was a real missile coming in.
It's a bad system. I mean, he's a doofus, but it's a bad system. You shouldn't end with, this is not a drill, because you don't know if the guy, how would you know if the guy heard the first few words?
That's a good point. It should end with exercise, exercise, exercise. It says here the message did begin and end with that phrase, though. In the middle of the message or near the end was, this is not a drill.
They're
claiming it was at the beginning and the end of the message.
There ought to be a multiple person check for something like that. Like you should have several people who do the approval, not just one.
Right.
Not even just a second guy. Have a third guy.
And didn't they originally say he pressed the button twice or whatever they do?
Yeah,
to send
because
out
it
the,
asks you, do you really want to do this?
Oh, I see. Well, so he told NBC News that he didn't hear exercise at all in the whole transmission. And as soon as he realized the error, man, he wanted to crawl under a rock. It was incredibly difficult for me, very emotional. And he added that his team was immediately flooded with phone calls from frantic people. So they did this investigation, and they said that this guy has a history of confusing drill and real-world events. Which to me says he should have been out of that job earlier. That's not a job. There's somewhere else he can work in the emergency management agency than the one that's sending out the missile alerts.
He's got a concentration or a processing problem.
Oh, he mistakenly believed the drills for tsunami and fire warnings were real emergencies. How did he keep this job?
Government.
He sent out a tsunami alert, too.
Oh, he did?
Yes, and a fire warning he thought was real, but it was a drill.
So this was a third strike.
Although he claims that these reports are not accurate.
Okay, so his bosses are a bunch of doofuses. I mean, they're all doofuses. The system, whoever designed it, is idiotic. And it took them 38 minutes to send out a message rescinding the warning.
And the FCC agrees with you, John. There are no procedures in place to prevent a single person from mistakenly sending a missile alert from the state of Hawaii.
Which means somebody could do it as a prank.
There should be a double check with a colleague, get a sign off from a supervisor, because that's over the top.
Yeah, and there ought to be a special code. In fact, years ago, if I remember, under the old system at radio stations, there was like an envelope with code words.
Is that right?
And if you got the Clay, am I right on that? Yes, there was an envelope. You opened it up, and it had a set of code words, and it had to match the code words that was coming over the speaker inside the studio, so that the board operator, before he set off the warning, like to run on KFI, he matched the code words in his envelope with the code words coming through the speaker.
Well, about that, I never got that training. So good thing no emergency happened when I was running the board. All right, coming up, 5 o'clock Friday. That means the Moist Line people are here, but we're going to begin with talking more about the homeless situation in San Pedro.
John and Ken Show, Deborah Marquez, the news, KFI AM 640.